You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, this is Frida Liu, BFM 89.9, and it's Aiming for Alpha. Alan Gan from Mini Workshop Series here with me, and we'll be attempting to figure people out. Can we really figure people out or even read their mind, Alan?
Thank you, Frida. Now, that was an interesting question when you mentioned ability to read people's mind. Now, I must say, this is a misconception here. Because reading people's mind, it sounded like having a supernatural power. But in actual fact, that's a method to it. More of understanding people, the way they react, the way they respond in a certain manner. So through that, you can basically see and observe a trend, a way they respond to a certain things. And that is a term to that. It's called metaprogram, or also known as perceptual filter. So by understanding this way, the way that they program themselves, the way they see and perceive things, and this is what we call figuring out people rather than reading people's mind.
And how is this skill important?
Now, just to say, if let's say a manager having this skill, well, if you see that if you can have the skill to know how to motivate people, how to make people tick, or even for salespeople, they will love this, how to get their customers, their client to be convinced of the product that they're going to sign on the dotted line. Don't you think this would be very important for their life?
Okay. And you talk about perception filters earlier on, right? Can these filters be changed or influenced?
Yes. In actual fact, maybe just to let me give a bigger picture of what this is all about. You see, for us, every time in our external world, there is 2 million bytes per second of information bombarding us, you see. But what happened is this, that when it goes through our mind, there's a, what I call a filter, which some sort of like selectively respond to the information, you see. And that information has been received and going to be represented in its own way. So this process is called sorting. Right? From 2 million bits per second, it becomes like 100 over plus, you see. So people tend to react in a certain manner. People tend to react in a certain, what they call, preference. And that's the way they behave. Sometimes you might hear people saying that, hey, how come he's like that? He's been responding in such a way. And that's what we call a modus operandi of a person, if you understand that.
Okay, if you say sorting out this information, on what basis are we sorting out this information?
All right. It can be based on our previous decision maker. So that creates a certain experience that we have, certain memories that we have, or even to the extent our values, our belief system, this also plays an important part. And in these particular areas, it very much influences the programs that we have in our mind.
Okay. And how you talked about metaprogramming, how is that linked with neuro-linguistic programming?
All right. Glad that you mentioned this, because metaprogramming is one domain or one part of the overall picture of neuro-linguistic programming. Neuro-linguistic programming, in a bigger nutshell, there's four domains or four main areas. Okay? When information comes in, this is where they call it the meta-programming, the way that people perceive, the way people filter information. And how is it being enriched into a strong memory? That is where they call meta-modalities. Another, sorry for this term, movie of the mind. In actual fact, what it means is that we are literally playing a movie in our mind to restore it as an experience. You see? So that's another part, we call it the meta questioning or the meta model, where we're able to chunk up or chunk down by understanding the detail part or going up the value side, understanding people's value. So that's another meta model from there. And add on another meta model, meta program is called meta stating. It's basically moving from one state to another state.
Okay.
Now, Frida, I understand this is a lot of jargon part, but it's actual fact, if because personally I've done NLP practitioner program, it really gives me a structure for learning as I begin to see how these four meta programs relates to communication.
Okay, so you've learned this. Can you give an example of what you've learned in your own application or experience, or, you know, with, even with customers, what happens when they chunk up or chunk down? You know, what do you mean by all that?
Okay. Okay, give you an example. I have an interesting presentation that I'm supposed to present to a public listed company, one of the senior GM. Interesting enough, at early in the morning, one of the HR manager did mention to me that, hey, my boss didn't really had a good start to the morning. And from a 1 hour slot of presentation, I was just being given 15 minutes to present. Now, interesting enough, I can see the emotions, the way that she somehow relate to me is so different compared to the time that I know her. So in this area already, I begin to understand she's having certain challenges. So what I do is that I use this on the area of meta modeling to, first of all, elicit out what are the situation that she's facing. So I use chunking down, where I I go a bit on the specific side. But after that, I use some questioning pattern to move into the value side to see what is she facing in terms of her emotions on all that area. Then when I begin to understand her bigger picture of the emotion that she's facing, so what I do is I match her by putting my emotion to be where she is right now, by understanding, be empathetic to her. So interesting enough, in that presentation, by right supposed to be 15 minutes, it went all the way 45 minutes. But most of the time, I'm more of relating to her than just doing presentation. And the presentation was fast, and I got a deal.
Oh, okay. So that's how you can apply in business way when you understand what the person's going through and all that. So,
precisely.
And you also said the word meta in all the domains. What do you mean by that?
Meta, in actual fact, simple term, it means beyond or above than that. So it's more of like giving you a structure behind things that's happening. If you want to define NLP, NLP is all about modeling, meaning the way that you do things, it is good. How can you model it? How can you learn the structure behind how things fall in place? And that it can be translated or be trained to your other subordinates or people that you want to coach them on.
That's right. If you have certain filters, say, you know, some people have a great upbringing and no whatever, and then someone who comes from a more difficult life growing up,
yes.
How do you remove certain filters? You probably have certain filters, all rich people are filthy, all rich people, you know what I mean?
Yes,
certain, how do
yes,
you remove yeah. those filters?
Okay. Now, first of all, I must pre-qualify certain pointers here. These filters, it is not about good filters or bad filters, but it's more about having the awareness of which filter or which extreme you are. Then from there, by having this awareness, then you can literally consciously use it to move to be more flexible, to use it in a more, context that's beneficial to you. Now, give an example. For those people who are, there's one meta program, it's called Motivational Direction. Certain people are self-reference, certain people are motivation direction, there's two parts to it, okay? One is basically people who are self-reference. Another people is like other people reference, you see? Sometimes based on some experience that we have, we need to be, empathized on, people need to give a pat on our back just for us to reinforce our learning. These people are more tend to be external reference. They are other people reference, you see. But those people who are self-driven, they are really have a lot of energy and they're really on their move. They are all internal reference, you see. So questions will be this, is that if let's say I ask someone and say that, if people think that you are wrong, other internal reference people will say, well, that's their opinion, but I'm strong, where am I? But those people who are external reference, they will say that, well, what actually have I done wrong? They will ask those type of questions. So just by understanding this, you see, if our staff are more of external reference, if things that they do, yes, might not be right, but certain areas they might need compliment, they might hear some good points from you. So just by saying that, well, I know there are certain areas you need to improve, but in actual fact, you have done a good job. That small little compliment will get them moving.
So there's no right or wrong.
Yes.
You just need to know whether some people are internally referenced or externally referenced.
That's one of
where they get their motivation from, you know, whether it's from people saying that they're good or whether they're comfortable with themselves. But sometimes do you then equate it with, well, self-esteem? You know, how, you know, why do I need someone's opinion to, because I from judging from
yes.
this, I know I'm internally referenced, okay, from
All
listening
right.
to you. But I also think of it as, well, it's also self-esteem.
Yes,
so,
it can be that.
Right? So do you then try to build people to have more self-esteem?
Well, in actual fact, that's why when having this awareness, then that's where talking about bringing a balance to it. Now, sometimes self-esteem do play a role in this, just now that I mentioned, the frame of reference, whether are you internal or you're external. Yes, I do agree with you to a certain point. But at that times, because of, as you say, upbringing, maybe because of their families, family are more in control and they always hear the parents, how they bring them up, the feedbacks, the opinions. So they might tend to be more open to feedbacks on this, you see. But by having understanding that they are more external. So at times, if they say they want to do a business people are all self-referenced. They know to be strong, self-motivated. You don't get pat on the back. So if let's say the person who are more external, let's say they want to start a business, then it is good that they are consciously aware that they need to move towards the other side. So I agree with you. At the times, they need to build their self-esteem.
I'm Sujit Alangan from Mini Workshop Series and our Aiming for Alpha segment. This is BFM 89.9. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to BFM 89.9. It's Aiming for Alpha and I'm speaking to Alangan from Mini Workshop Series. So what are the characteristics of meta programs?
Yes. In actual fact, meta program is also known as I mentioned just now, perceptual filters. And it's very dynamic. I also did mention that it's not whether right or wrong, but just how it's been used in the context. So it is very dynamic in the sense that it's very contextualized. We just can't profile someone and put them in a box. Just likewise, if I mention someone's an internal reference, he's all the time internal reference. So what it means by this is that it's a continuum whereby someone, when they are aware of themselves, they can be at one extreme. But having the awareness, they actually can be flexible enough to move along the way. So in actual fact, in that sense, you can actually be different in different contexts to suit it that in the context that is beneficial for you.
And sometimes there are some people, does it come with age when you realize, hey, I need to figure people out? Because there's some people who are saying, well, you know, it's my way or the highway, you know, so, and they seem pretty contented with that. You know, what are the benefits of understanding people better?
Well, yes, they might have a strong self-reference in that sense because it's either my way or highway is the way to go about. Yeah, they are very much self-reference. But at times, you see, to benefit communication, to reach a level whereby you want to communicate effectively, you want to influence people, won't you think that it would be good that if by understanding people, we understand their map of the world, meaning the way they perceive how information is, then we actually can get into their mind. And when we have the ability to understand in the way they see things, then that's where the influence can come in.
All right. And are there more examples of meta programs?
Yes. Give an example. Another one is called the reasoning sort. Reasoning style. Reasoning style is whether someone, if let's say you can ask the question, for me to present this new project to you, would you like it to be global? You want to have a big picture first? Or you want to be more specific? You see, that's always a challenge. When people who are global, the specific people will tend to think that, well, these are just big-headed people who just want big picture, wouldn't want to hear the details. Likewise, global people will think of specific people, you're just too detailed, don't consider the
big...
Yeah, that's right, yes. So by having a balance of this, then wouldn't you think by agreeing to a certain project, then that would help very much by understanding whether the person needs to be global first or detail first?
Like, and it's actually part of leadership, the ability to see things from the big picture and also to see things from a detailed perspective.
Yes, I mean, this is very much a business context if you want to talk about being in business. Now, Frida, I just give you another example. This is very good for salespeople. This is a strategy called convincer strategy. Convincer strategy is that sometimes people need to see people or see things. Like, give an example, to do a product demo. Before people buy certain products, they want to see a lot of demo. So by seeing few times, that's called numerical convincer, then people can be convinced. But there are also people need to hear, you see, that whereby you need to bring in testimonies, you need to bring in real-life case of people saying things about that product, so people are hearing. Then another type is people who need to read or people who are conceptual. Instead of showing the product demo, they might ask this, can you give me all the data, give me the statistics, you see? And people who need to do, these are the kinesthetic, they need to play around. Maybe one of the good strategies that borrow them that product for 1 week. As they experience the product, they might want to buy the product, isn't it?
And so you're saying that that's kinesthetic,
let me put it in summary. People who are seeing are visual, hearing are auditory. People who are reading, they are more, what you call, concept people, auditory. People who are doing, it's... kinesthetic.
Yes, okay, so in a way, sometimes when you're not too sure what a person is, the best thing is if you can actually give all four, whether it's in brochures or demo or whatever, and correct. Then from there, they're able to evaluate. And all of us have elements of all,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
So some are just more stronger than the others.
Yes, you're right.
Okay, and so what are the key steps? You know, we talk about figuring people out. What are the key steps towards figuring people
okay.
out?
Okay, in simple steps, there are actually a few ways to go about it. But firstly, important is that you need to be outcome-based. You need to be very clear in that particular communication context, what is it the outcome that you want to achieve? So by having understanding that already, secondly, you need to have what they call a sensory acuity. Sensory acuity meaning based on your observation or based on using certain question to elicit out the values or the filters of the person's mind, then from there you can understand more about that person. Now, once you have elicit out what they call the observation, then you might want to actually consider be flexible. Flexible in such a way that if let's say that person is very much a global person and you're not, you need details, well, can you be flexible enough to be global so that the agreement can be there? Yeah, and importantly, be ecological. Because if you know this technique, yes, Frida, in a way, it's like reading people, like reading a book like that. But I rather put it in this way, it has to be ecological. It has to be a win-win situation. So the influencing part comes in a way that both parties are benefiting from that.
So you cannot come from a win-lose environment.
Definitely.
So you got to come from a win-win environment. And then and that really should be the basis of everything we do in life.
Precisely. That's right.
I've been speaking to Alan Gan from Mini Workshop Series. This is Aiming for Alpha on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.